fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles. Really, season following Easter, making our way toward the celebration of Pentecost, the church takes us through the amazing story of the spread of the gospel through the Acts of the Apostles, really beginning with the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The great story, you know, remember in chapter 1, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, met with the apostles and told them, they said, you know, when he said, John baptized you with water. And what was John's baptism? It was a baptism of repentance. He said, but I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He'd said that in the Gospel of John as well. He said he would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with power and with fire. And so what we see in the Acts of the Apostles, and both after Jesus' ascension, we see the whole plan and the arc of salvation that's being worked out. Jesus became one of us in order to save us. He became sin for us. And we walk through that whole celebration of Triduum, Jesus' triumph over the power of sin and death. But one of us went to the cross. He went to the cross on our behalf, and he shed his blood, and it's, the scripture says again, he became sin for us. He was a sacrifice and an offering for sin. He broke the power of sin over the human race and is now the head of a new race of people. Jesus is the second Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. Adam fell to the temptation of sin in the garden. Jesus resisted all temptation, even to the point of death, giving to the Father what belongs to the Father, which is complete trust, surrender, love, and obedience. So Jesus dies, and he creates a new path, a new avenue, really a whole new way of life and a new capacity for all of us who become baptized into Jesus Christ and receive what the apostles are now extending in their mission, receive the forgiveness of sins in baptism and the grace of new life in the Holy Spirit. Jesus dies and rises, and so he passes through death. He goes through the dominion of darkness, this world, this fallen world, and begins the new kingdom in himself, a new existence for the human race beyond death. Jesus enters into glory and takes human flesh with him. And he rises on the ascension to the right hand of the Father, where all power and glory is given to him. And he told the apostles that they would receive power to be able to extend his kingdom in the world. And they were fundamentally, from the beginning, a missionary community, a community of missionary disciples. This is a theme that Pope Francis underlines in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, reminding us. He said, each baptized person can stand just like the apostles and say, I am a mission in this world. I have been branded by Christ to be his ambassador, to be a missionary in the world. And I'm a member of his church, which is a community, an organic body of people that are brought from death to life and made alive in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that Spirit present in each person's life and in the whole life and ministry of the church, we're a community in movement. We're a community being moved by the Spirit and the Spirit's power to extend the kingdom of God in the world where Jesus has planted us. That's why the church is everywhere in the world, is being sent everywhere in the world, and to be a living, visible community, bringing the gospel, bringing the sacraments and life of the church to those around it. Every single person is a missionary. Every single person is personally called. Now, when we historically we think of missionary, we think of religious missionary orders, maybe, and those who are sent to different parts of the world, to Papua New Guinea or to, you know, the South Pacific or to Asia somewhere, Africa. But they have a unique and a particular calling. But each one of us share in the specific commission and calling of Jesus to his apostles, to his disciples, to extend his kingdom in the world, whoever they are, wherever they are, to go as Jesus did to seek and save the lost, and to bring people into the kingdom of God, into relationship with Christ, into baptism, literally to be saved from the dominion of darkness, the way the apostles put it, and to enter the kingdom of the beloved Son of God. One of the great stories in the Acts of the Apostles is when that gospel, which first went to the people of Israel, to the household of the people of God, of Israel, the chosen people. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached his word to representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel that had gathered in Israel for the pilgrim feast of Pentecost. And it was on that day that Luke gives us the account in Acts of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, fulfilling Jesus' promise, and then empowering them This is really important that we see the church really is a miracle. The church is a reality in the world that's the creation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus sharing with us, sharing with humanity, everything that now belongs to him. He's now in glory. Everything we're called to be, God's promises will lead to, are found in the person of Jesus Christ, who's now the head of the church, a new community of people. And it's from the power of the Spirit given by the Father and the Son to the apostles. And it's important to see that even the apostles were with Jesus for 3 years. They needed what Jesus told them he was going to give. They really needed the Holy Spirit. And not only to receive the Spirit, but to act on the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. To be Christian really means to be led by the Spirit. And so the apostles that day are being led by the Spirit who sent, not just to comfort them and to give them new freedom and assurance and give them the anointing to be able to preach the gospel. The gospel goes forward not just by human will or by human creativity. All our natural gifts are used in that process, but it goes forward first and foremost under the anointing, under the power, and the presence, and the lead of the Holy Spirit. So it happens there on Pentecost, and Peter goes forth and he proclaims the truth of what happened in Jesus, and that he's alive, that he was crucified, that he died, but that he's alive again. The one whom God testified to through signs and wonders is living. And the apostles say, we've seen him, we've touched him, we bear witness to the truth that he's alive. And we declare to you now that mercy is going to the whole world. God's mercy is coming to the world. That is salvation, to bring the human race repentance and forgiveness of sins. And the possibility through that repentance and in baptism to become a new creation and to be united to the person of Jesus and to inherit and to share in everything that belongs to him. This is the road to salvation. Salvation is receiving gospel and repenting of our sins, receiving the free gift and entering the waters of baptism. We see it throughout the Acts of the Apostles. And we're justified. That means we're brought into right relationship with God by God's mercy, by a gift of God. The relationship that was broken because of sin has been now restored. It's been restored in the person of Jesus Christ, who represents to the Father who we are all meant and called to be. And for us, he gives to the Father what belongs to the Father, as I said at the beginning of the program. And now we inherit the grace that's present in Jesus and that relationship with the Father. So we are made a new creation in baptism, and we're on our way to salvation. Salvation will be completed in our lives when Jesus brings us whole and complete into the presence of God the Father, and he welcomes us, and we share with him the absolute and total freedom of sons and daughters of God in heaven, in the glory of God himself. So the apostles go forward and preach that truth, and we see how they began to perform signs and wonders, just like Jesus had promised. And church today ought to be characterized, and it is in many places in the world, characterized by the confirming signs of heaven when the gospel is preached. One of the great signs, of course, is conversion, people's hearts being open. No human heart can grasp the reality and majesty of Jesus' lordship and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord without the help of the Holy Spirit. But there's healings, deliverance. There's people literally raised from the dead. Even in the world today, it happens. People healed, blind see, lame walk, the deaf hear. Jesus desires that his church would go forward in power, not just simply in words, but in power. And that's one of the things the apostles underline as their ministry goes forth. St. Paul said, when I came among you in Corinthians, he said, when I came among you, I came with fear and trembling. And when I preached the gospel, my gospel came to you, not only in words, not only in eloquence, but with the confirming power of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit in power. And Paul said this was crucial so that your faith, which is a response to the message that was preached to you, would not rest upon my eloquence or my creativity or even my logic, but your faith would rest upon the convincing power of the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, giving you conviction that the word is true and giving you the grace to say yes to that word so that your conversion and your faith would rest on the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So as the apostles move forward across the Acts, we see Peter and John healing the man at the Gate Beautiful, which I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, and the religious leaders don't like it. Big crowds gather. Lots of people give their lives to Jesus, respond to them, and enter into the church and are baptized. The leaders of Israel didn't like it. And so they threaten the apostles. You see it over and over again. Peter's dragged in front of the Sanhedrin. He's thrown in jail. And the angel comes and releases him and says, go right back out there. It's so interesting. The leadership says, look, we're in charge. And we're telling you, do not preach in his name again. Don't say the name of Jesus in public. And they intimidated the apostles, tried to intimidate the apostles. And the apostles said very simply, well, you're going to have to judge for yourself, religious leaders, whether we should obey you or we should obey God. But for our part, we know what we're going to do. We must obey God, who's commanded us to go forward and to preach Christ, no matter what the cost, no matter what the cost to our personal lives. And of course, they enraged the religious leaders who had them flogged and beaten and sent out. And what do the apostles do? They regather with the brothers and sisters and they rejoice that they've been counted worthy to be persecuted, to be flogged, to be beaten, to be rejected, to be jailed for the name of Jesus. And instead of hunkering down and trying to protect themselves, what they do is they pray for more anointing. They pray for more of the Holy Spirit. They pray for more confirming signs and wonders to be worked in the name of Jesus so that the gospel can go forward and people can be saved. People can repent of their sins, have their sins forgiven, enter the waters of baptism, and enter the church which Jesus Christ has established in the world for the salvation of the world. One of the great stories I want to talk about tomorrow is the conversion of Cornelius. This is the transition now when the gospel proclamation initially went to the people of Israel, and Peter took the lead there. The Lord uses Peter as well in the first transition of the gospel going to the non-Jewish world, to the Gentiles. And it's such a beautiful story. It's all of chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the Acts of the Apostles. Maybe before tomorrow, you might want to just read it. It's not that long. It's just these two chapters. And it's a beautiful story of who the Lord chose to bring the word of salvation to through Peter, to this soldier, and then how that word was received and how the Lord worked signs and wonders and spoke to both Peter and Cornelius, bringing them together. And then we'll look at the message that Peter communicated to Cornelius, which is what scholars call the kerygma, the core message, the germ cell on which the whole church was built, the preaching of this message, essentially the truth about Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, died, and he's been raised, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And in him is the beginning of the new creation. And all authority in heaven and earth now belong to him. And God has designated this Jesus both Lord and Christ. And human history, its destiny is in his hands. And he's the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And literally all things belong to him. And now, because of that truth, the apostles say mercy and forgiveness is being offered, not only to the people of Israel, but to the Gentile world, to fulfill the prophetic word throughout the Old Testament that the Messiah of Israel would be the light to the nations. I hope you can tune in tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.